All right. How's everyone doing this morning? All right, two people made noise. They had their coffee. Everyone else, you can. We have coffee out in the lobby if you don't know. No, we're glad that you're here today. We are wrapping up a series called Created for Greatness. If God has spoken to you in any way in this series, can you just make some noise? God spoke to you anyway. I know he has for me. So if you got nothing out of it, I did. So I just invited you into my devotional time. No. But we've been in a series, if you're new here, called Created for Greatness. And what we've been doing is looking, kind of the basic premise is this, that we believe you're called to live a life of great faith and a life of great impact. We've been looking at individuals who are referenced in Hebrews 11, which is the hall of faith. There are men and women in that chapter who've lived a life of great faith and great impact. And in this series, we've been unpacking principles from different individuals' lives. Nearly not an exhaustive list, but we had some individuals that we kind of gleaned some insight from on how we can apply to our life to live the fullness of what God has for us. Here's a fundamental belief that we have as a church. John 10:10, Jesus said, I came to give you life and life to the full. We believe that Jesus came to give you life and life to the full. And if that excites you, can you say amen? We believe he didn't come to take from us. He came to give to us. But we need to look to his word for guidance on how to live that life that he has for us. A couple things before we dive in today. Number one, next week, where I'm starting a brand new series, really excited, called Jesus Is. It's going to take us all the way up to Easter. How many are excited for Easter? Come on. We love Easter in the Burroughs household. My kids are already planning out how many Easter egg hunts they want to have. We love Easter and what it means with the resurrection of Jesus and what that means for us in our faith. And I'm really excited this series. 4 weeks, we'll be looking at different I am statements that Jesus made in Scripture, referring to himself, and really going to glean some application for our life on who Jesus is. And I'm really excited kicking it off next week. Make sure you're here for that. Also, we'll be kind of sharing some vision for Easter coming up. And I want to encourage you to be praying about and thinking about who you can invite for Easter. I'll be sharing next week more of my faith journey. My faith journey back to Christ as an adult began with an Easter invitation. And I believe that Easter is an incredible time that people who normally would never go to church will say yes to an Easter invitation. And we're believing that many people's lives are going to be changed on April 21st. If you believe it, say amen. My life started to be changed from an Easter invitation on an Easter service a number of years ago, and I'm believing for that. So I want to encourage you, be thinking about who in your life could you say, hey, would you come sit with me on April 21st, either at Catalyst Church, and I'm really excited for that. Also today, right after this service, we're having our step four of Next Steps. If you've never come to Next Steps, you can jump right in this step. Next Steps is our way to kind of help you to learn more about the church and get connected into church life. And today, you'll have an opportunity to hear more about our serving teams, as well as get connected to a specific team here at Catalyst. Many ways for you to get connected and utilize the gifts that God's given you. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 4 that as each part of the body of Christ does their part, exercises their gift, it actually builds the body of Christ up in love. And we believe we're called here to build the body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, up in love. Amen. So you can come right afterwards. It's less than a half an hour. It'll be in Auditorium 1. And if you have little ones, Children's Ministry will carry over during that time. Well, let's go ahead and dive into the scripture today. We're going to be in 1 Samuel 17. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to it, or your smart devices, or if you've written scripture on the palm of your hand, you can reference that. We're going to dive in today. We'll have it up on the big screens as well. But before we get in, let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness and your grace. God, we pray that as we open up your words, you would speak to us, God, that my words would truly be your words. God, we came to hear from you, to get a word from you, to be changed by you, to walk out of here differently because of you and your word. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the story of David and Goliath. Many of you may know this story. Anybody else, like myself, you grew up going to Sunday school, remember David and Goliath on felt boards? Any felt boards? We have a felt board recovery group actually happening after service. Thank God we have some technology now for the kids. But it's a story maybe many of you have heard. In fact, my kids love the story. In fact, I think it was probably about a six-month period of time. Every time we would ask Judah what Bible story he wants to read, he would say, Goliath. And he thankfully he has moved on to other aspects of Scripture. We were praying for that. We said it's a great story, son, but we need a broader scope of God's Word. No, but we love the story of David and Goliath in our house. But this this passage, to give a little bit of context, and I'll paraphrase quickly. There's a lot of Scripture in this chapter. I won't read all of it exhaustively, but I'll paraphrase. Long story short, 1 Samuel 16, at the age of 17, David is anointed as the next king of Israel. So he gets this anointing, but there's a 20-year gap between the anointing and the appointing when he was actually became the king. Just to encourage somebody, if you found yourself, maybe you have a dream in your heart, you received God's maybe given you a vision, and maybe you feel like there's been a gap, maybe you feel like there's been a season where maybe you even felt like you're not just even going forward, but you're going backwards, be encouraged, because that's the life of David. But know that God is with you and he is for you. And unlike the culture we live in an instant culture, right? I can take a picture and it can be up on my Insta story immediately. But even though we have an Instagram world, we still serve a dark room God, because there's value in the dark room. He often does his best work and his best development in us in seasons of darkness, in seasons where we feel like we're on the backside of the wilderness. And oftentimes I've found there's actually more of those seasons than there are the seasons in the light. Because I think God wants to do his great work, because he's actually more concerned with what he's doing in you than what's actually happening around you. Because he knows if he can do something great in you, there's nothing in this world you can't do through you. Come on, that's better preaching than y'all responded. The first service didn't even get that, okay? So don't tell him. No. No, but we see David is there's this gap of 20 years. And so he's anointed king. And then what essentially happens is he finds himself in a season. Maybe you felt like this. Maybe you felt in your heart one day you're going to be a leader in your company in the executive suite, or one day you're going to run your own business. But maybe you find yourself still in a position lower on the organizational chart. And you can relate to David. For David had this anointing to be king, but then he finds himself in a position where he's serving his father's sheep in the field. Come on, he was said he was going to lead. The anointing was that you're going to be king over a people, and he finds himself as a shepherd over sheep. And he's finding himself there. Then his dad, who also side note that when Samuel the prophet came to anoint the new king of Israel, that when he came to Jesse's house, David's father, he said, "Where are your sons?" He Jesse brought in all of his sons except David. So if you've been overlooked, maybe even by your own parent, can I tell you can relate to the story of David? And maybe some of you can have had a hurt where, whether it's been a parent or a teacher or a boss in your life, you can relate to the story of David, because he was overlooked by his own father and his own brothers. And then we find that he was asked to go now serve bread and cheese on the front line to his brothers. A side note, he did not say kale and grapefruit, but bread and cheese. Come on. It is always God's will to have bread and cheese. Just a side note, all right? I'm all about kale, but more so bread and cheese, because it's biblical, bread and cheese. So he brought bread and cheese to his brothers in the front lines. And what's interesting is he was called to serve the person who was in the position he was anointed to take eventually. And he goes and he serves faithfully. And because, you know, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but I feel like just even say this, that I, in that moment, God, before God placed him in a position of leadership, he was teaching him servanthood. Because in the kingdom of heaven, leadership is servanthood. So he wanted to see, David, I want you to learn how to serve sheep and then serve people before I put you in a position of leadership. Because when I place you in that position of leadership, I want you to remember the backside of the field. I want you to remember the bread and cheese moment, because that bread and cheese moment will serve you well, because you understand that it's never about leading and lording, but about serving and loving people. So that when he places you in that position, he'll know your heart will be right. His heart will be postured towards the people, because he was first a servant of them. So he goes to the front line, and what he sees at the front line is the Israelites are all kind of in fear. They're trembling, because there's a giant named Goliath, 9'6", wearing 300 pounds of armor, a trained soldier, has a shield bearer, and he's threatening the Israelites. He's a Philistine, and he's saying, bring one man to come fight me, and if we defeat you, you will be servants of ours, but if you defeat us, then we will be your servants. And David sees him at the front lines, and something on the inside of him kind of awakens, and he says, I will take down this uncircumcised Philistine. Just if you ever want to do some trash talk, just use that one. and he goes forward, and First, Saul gives him his armor. We'll get to that. And he tries to put his armor upon David. And also, just a side note, be mindful that if you don't, this is what's so important, church, that we learn to hear from God, and we sit under the teaching of the Word of God, and we spend time with God on a regular basis. And here's why: because you need to receive the calling and the purpose from God that He has for your life. Because listen, if you don't understand the calling that God has for your life, somebody else will try to give you one. Somebody else will give you, somebody else, listen, I will guarantee you somebody has a vision for your life. But it oftentimes isn't God's vision. So he tried to give him the armor, and David says, I can't wear this. And he takes out his sling and five smooth stones from the brook. And he slings this rock, and he hits Goliath in the forehead. The giant falls, and the Israelites win, and the Philistines flee. What happens in verse 18, then David is promoted over all of the men of war, the scripture says, over the entire military in that moment. That's kind of the basic paraphrase. And I want to pick just kind of from this three applications for our life, I think, from the life of David that we can apply to our life to really live out the purpose and the calling of greatness that God has for us. Here's the first one. It's to learn to be faithful in your season. Be faithful in your season. I mentioned the gap, the 20-year gap that David had between the anointing and the appointing. By the time that God spoke the time that God spoke to them, and in fact, even in the presence of others, that he actually was positioned in that place. And at first, he finds himself kind of again serving sheep in the field for his father, and then bringing bread and cheese to the front line. It says this in the scripture. It says that David was a son of Ephronite of Bethlehem in Judah, named Jesse, who had eight sons. In the days of Saul, the man was already old and advanced in years. The three oldest sons of Jesse had followed Saul to battle. The names of the three sons who went in the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next to him Abinadab, and third Shema. Those are all great names for your children. David was the youngest. The three eldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth. Everyone say back and forth. If you ever feel like in your life you're going back and forth, be encouraged. God has you right where he has you, on purpose and for a purpose. He's going back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep to Bethlehem. What's intriguing, he went back and forth, one to feed sheep, two to feed his brothers. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward and took a stand morning and evening. And Jesse said to David's son, take for your brothers an ephah of this parched grain and these 10 loaves, God bless carbohydrates, and carry them quickly to your camp to your brothers. And take also these 10 cheeses, feta and mozzarella and the Mexican blend. It's great on everything. Jesus, thank you. To the commander of their 1,000, see if your brothers are well, and take and bring some token from them. That we see in this moment that he says, listen, I want you to take these bread and cheese. What's intriguing about David, that for 40 days and 40 nights, so this Goliath was sitting and he was threatening the Israelites. David was going back and forth, feeding the sheep to feeding his brothers. But interesting to note that for 40 days that he was taking the bread and cheese. Listen, if there was not the bread and cheese moment, there would have never been a Goliath moment. See, what's why it's so important that you capture this, to be faithful where you are. Again, we live in a culture where faithfulness is kind of a lost value. And I'm all about the instant. It's great. We got instant pots. Come on, we got instant gram. We got instant everything. and there's a great technological advances are fantastic. But technology is not theology. That God works differently oftentimes. Again, because he's far more concerned with what's happening in your private life than actually what's happening in your public life. Because he can do anything through you if you allow him to do something in you. He's more concerned with your heart. For fact, it said in the scripture that actually the reason that God chose David, because he was a man after God's own heart. He wasn't a perfect man. In fact, this may encourage some of you. Maybe you've made some mistakes, i.e. all of us. David was a man who also committed adultery and murder. Be these in the scriptures, a man after God's own heart. Just a reminder of the grace of God. God never calls us to perfection. He calls us to seeking him. That you'll make mistakes, but listen, continue to have posture your heart towards him. Posture your heart to pursuing him as it was with David. And that's why David was chosen by God, because he was a man after God's own heart. But when we see David's faithfulness, it's so important that we understand faithfulness. And I would encourage you, if you find yourself in a season like David, where maybe you're wondering, God, why am I in this position? Why do you have me in this season? Maybe you're a stay-at-home mom and you're wondering, man, when is it gonna be time to be in that career? Or you're a stay-at-home dad, or maybe you're in a position at work that you've been in for a little while and you're wondering when is the next gonna happen? Maybe you've been trying to launch that business for a while, or maybe you've been trying to have kids for a little while and you're wondering, and in those seasons that are hard, there's a propensity to in those moments to stop being faithful to God. Because one of the seeds the enemy will often use in our life to get us to stop being faithful to God is discouragement. Have you ever been discouraged? Have you ever been disappointed? It's hard to deal with that. It's hard to deal with disappointment and discouragement. I can imagine David was. Imagine he's walking back and forth from his father's house to the front lines. Note, they didn't have Uber back then. He was walking. I'm sure there were some long walks, maybe processing disappointments and discouragements. In fact, in one of the Psalms that was penned by David, he says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul?" If you're experiencing discouragement, you're in good, you're in a kind of good accompaniment there with David. He experienced a discouragement. But it's important that we learn to take that discouragement to God. We can do two things with discouragement and disappointment. We can react to it, or we can submit it to God. And we can cast our cares upon God. The scripture says, I mentioned several weeks ago, when we cast our cares upon God, the scripture says this, that he will renew your strength. And if you're discouraged today, the best thing you can do when you go home today, take some time. Come on, shut the door. Put on Netflix for the kids. It's a great babysitter. And go be with God. It's partially a joke. No, but be with God. Spend time with God. Submit your discouragement to him. But the faithfulness is key, is being faithful where God has you. You know, I was reminding of the importance of faithfulness even in hard seasons. I was talking with somebody this week about citrus farming. I don't know if you have any citrus farmers in the room. Not too common in the D.C. area. Somebody's clapping for it. That's awesome. Maybe somebody is. All right, there we go, a citrus farmer. Maybe you should come teach this portion of it then. I might get this wrong. But they told me that with citrus, that actually it's best to grow and pick the fruit in the winter as opposed to the summer. And here's why. They said because in the winter, in harsh conditions, what happens is the root pours all of the nutrients into the fruit to keep it alive. Therefore, when you pick the fruit in the harsh conditions, the fruit that's produced in the winter is the most nutritious and the sweetest. Come on, that'll preach. Listen, the fruit, but you got to stay connected to the root. Listen, you got to stay connected. You got to stay planted. Psalm 92:13, those who are planted in the house of God will flourish in life. He said, when you say connected to the root, the best fruit that will come from your life are in the worst seasons of your life. Be faithful. Be faithful. And allow God to make you fruitful. Stay connected to the root so you can produce the sweetest fruit. I think it's so important that we get that. Even Jesus himself and the parable of the talents, just the point to Jesus' value upon faithfulness and fruitfulness. In Matthew 25, you know, many of you might know this, he's someone with 5 talents, someone with 2 talents, someone with 1 talent. The guy with 5 says, hey, I came back and I produced 5 talents for you. In other words, I was faithful and fruitful with the talents you've given me, and now I've produced more for your kingdom. And Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with little. Now you can be entrusted with much. How do you move on to the next season God has for you? Be faithful and fruitful in the one he's placed you in right now. But then what's intriguing, if you actually read back down to the passage of Matthew 25, when the one with 1 talent says, Master, I was fearful and I hid it. I was neither faithful nor fruitful. You know, the scripture actually says, just get away from me, you wicked servant. That wickedness is actually correlated with unfaithfulness. Just a thought. The value God places upon faithfulness and fruitfulness in your life. And here's an encouragement I want to give you too. If you find yourself in a season where you're being faithful, those can be difficult seasons. In those seasons that are difficult, in those seasons that are hard, in those seasons where you feel like you're bringing bread and cheese, that you're serving the one whom you thought you'd have their position, in that season, be mindful of the people that you're allowing to speak into your life. You know, it says in the passage, I think we have the scripture, where he gets to the front line, his oldest brother, David was the youngest. Now, Eliab is oldest. Come on, any youngest siblings in the house? Come on, youngest. Come on, wave your hands in the air like you just don't care. You're God's favorite. Come on. That's because I am. That's not theological nor correct. Don't get offended. How many the oldest? All right, we don't like you. No, I was kidding. It was like 9:15. It was like all the oldest. I was like, this is the wrong service. No, I'm just kidding. His oldest brother heard when he spoke to the man. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. Then Eliab's anger was kindled against David. He said, why have you come down? And whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption and the evil in your heart. You have come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? Was it not but a word? And he turned away. Everyone wants to turn away from him toward another. Some of you, there are people in your life that you need to turn away from. There are people in your life, they will tell you the wrong thing. They will tell you, leave your spouse, not be faithful to your spouse. They'll tell you, turn your back on God. Or they won't even say it. They'll just lead you away from it. You need to be mindful. This week I was watching, I came across a video of a power lifter. Anybody ever watched powerlifting before? I'm always intrigued. I like, you ever seen like the strongest man competition, like they pull a plane? I'm like, that's not human. But I'm like, I kind of wish I was that strong because that'd be awesome. I don't know how functional it is though in life. Just a side note. But I was watching this guy lift weights, and he had like several men around him. And while he was pushing this like huge amount of weight off his chest, these guys around him were like, come on, you got this. Lightweight, lightweight, lightweight. I'm like, that ain't lightweight, bro. You lying. But the guy like pushed it up. I mean, he's like contorting, but he like gets up like 8,000 pounds off his chest. I'm like, you're a bear, all right? You know, it's like, but you know what you don't see with powerlifters? You don't see them surround themselves with somebody who's like, come on. You don't got this. You're weak. Oh, this is too much. Put it down, right? Well, they're intentional. They're having people saying, you got this. Move forward. You need people in your life when life gets hard being like, keep being faithful. Keep praying. Keep showing up to church. Keep reading his word. Keep loving your spouse. Keep going to work with the right heart. I got a friend of mine like this. I saw him last week. He's one of the most encouraging people I've ever met. First time I ever talked to him, he's a pastor out in California. I'm sometimes envious of his weather in Southern California, but I gotta repent of that sometimes. But I remember one of the first times I ever talked to him, and I told him, you know, this was like some months ago when I was, you know, we had this dream to plant this church, and he was like, man, he's like, hey, I want you to know this. I want you, I believe in you. I believe in the dream God's given you, that I'm in your corner. I'm praying for you. And he'll just text me out of the blue. I saw him last week, the first time in a few months. He's like, hey, man, I'm so proud of you. I believe in you. I want you to know that we're for you. And like, when I get around him, I just feel like I can be like a power lifter and lift that weight. You know what I'm saying? But you need people in your life who are going to encourage you. I know it's simple, but can I tell you, church, it's profound. It's profound to have people who are going to encourage you. And listen, Catalyst Church will always be a church of a place of encouragement. We're going to come and we're going to encourage you. God's got a great plan for your life. God has a great purpose for your life. Listen, you might be on the backside of a field with sheep, but listen, God's called you to be a king, and we're going to be behind you. We're going to pray for you. We're going to help lift you up, never tear you down. Come on. Be mindful of that. So be faithful in your seeds. Number two is to be confident in who God created you to be. Be confident in who God created you to be. So Saul clothed David with his armor, put a helmet of bronze on his head, and clothed him with a coat of mail. David strapped his sword over his armor. He tried in vain to go, but he had not tested them. Another word for tested is trained. He had not been trained in them. Then David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand. He chose 5 smooth stones from the brook, and he put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. It's intriguing there that we see that Saul, he tries to put his armor on David. And I mentioned this earlier, is be mindful that it's so important that you spend time with God. It's so important that you're in the house of God, that you understand kind of what the purposes of God looks like for your life, because if not, somebody will very willingly give you their vision for your life. And we see here that Saul is trying to put his armor upon David. But David like, nah, it just don't fit right. It's like you ever gone to a clothing store and you try some clothes on and you just like, you know, it looked great, right? And you saw it on the mannequin or you saw your friend wear it, you'd be like, oh, I'm going to look great in that. And then you put it in, you're like, nah, that ain't gonna work. That's like David at the moment. He's like, nah, this ain't gonna work. I was reminded back when I was in high school basketball, and they had, I was on the team, they had passed down like jerseys from the previous guys who were on the team before. I remember they gave me a jersey, and the guy who was before me was much smaller than me. So they gave me his jersey, and I put it on, and I was like, all right, we're Team Spandex, apparently, because this is clinging to my body. I didn't even know I had weight right there, but I guess I do. All right. But I was like, okay, they gave me this, right? I'm new to the team, right? I'm trying to fit in. Sometimes you're new to a company. You try to fit in, right? You're new to your career. You try to fit in. You're new to a community. You try to fit in. I was like, I want to fit in. But it wasn't fitting in. And I tried even, like, at home, I was like, okay, I'm going to try to, like, you know, move in it. And I was just like, ah, and I'm hurting, you know, I'm trying to run in it. And I can't. Like, so I go back to the coach. I'm like, coach, this ain't going to work. He's like, man, we'll get you a brand new jersey. We'll get you one specifically for you. And how many of you know, listen, some of you, maybe you're new to your company. Maybe your company is full of administrative task people, and you're like a life of the party kind of a person. And you're thinking, maybe I need to be an administrative task person. I'm not saying you can't learn skills and competencies. I'm not saying that. But be true to your five stones and sling. Be true to how God is. Don't try yourself putting on Sergeant's armor, because here's what's going to happen. You're going to find yourself frustrated. You're going to find yourself, like I did in that jersey, not fully able to be yourself. When I had a signature move in high school, college was the dream, but they didn't fulfill that dream. But I had this pump fake. I couldn't pump fake. It hurt, right? I couldn't be myself in somebody else's jersey. You can't be yourself in somebody else's armor. You can't be yourself in somebody else's calling. God has a specific calling for your life. So it says that, David, what happens next is David takes his sling and his stones. I'll paraphrase it, but go back and read it for yourself. He takes it and he slings the stone and it strikes Goliath in the forehead. And Goliath falls down dead instantly. What's intriguing about David and Goliath in this story, so often we can read it. In fact, Goliath teased him because kind of from just first view, from the outside looking in, they looked unequally matched, meaning Goliath was greater than David. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And the kingdom of God is an upside-down kingdom according to the world standards. And what appeared to be a weakness is actually a strength. Why? Because it's in our weakness God's strength is perfected. So what appeared to be at a disadvantage, that David was at a disadvantage, but here's what you got to know. I read this week in one of the studies, and I never read this before, but they said, so Goliath, 300 pounds of armor, he had a shield bearer going before him. So not only was he a giant, not only was David facing a giant, but he was outnumbered. He had 2-1. So Goliath was fully armored, fully prepared, and fully trained to face a swordsman. That scholars say if David would have went in Saul's armor, he would have been destroyed like that because Goliath was prepared for that. And how do you know Goliath was prepared for that and not a slinger? A slinger was a group of individuals who literally were ones who would sling stones. They could get this. They could sling 100 miles an hour. Can you imagine a rock coming at you 100 miles an hour? These were like modern day snipers. That's what they were. And David comes to him. And see, the scripture says, read back. I don't want to read all the passages because it would have taken a long time. But if you read back, that actually Goliath's helmet, if he was facing a slinger, it would have actually covered his entire head. But there was a portion that was left vulnerable, his forehead. See, if you knew you were facing a slinger, you would never leave your forehead uncovered. But Goliath prepared for a swordsman. Do you know this as well? In that culture, I think I mentioned this earlier, that giants were not uncommon. There were literally tribes of giants. So Goliath wasn't the only giant, but Goliath was David's giant. And God had prepared him. He had trained him as a shepherd in the backside of the field to be a slinger because God knew that Goliath would have a vulnerability that only a slinger could defeat. God has specifically equipped you and called you and prepared you for the giant that he's calling you to conquer. For what God has for you, for your purpose, you might be thinking to myself, I'm just a lowly shepherd. I just have a sling and a few stones. God's like, no, no, player. I've called you. I've equipped you specifically for the purpose that I've had for you. And we see when he slung that stone, it hit Goliath's forehead. Immediately, he was dead. Now, I was reading this, and I came across an article this week that I thought kind of was a modern-day example of this. Steph Curry of the Golden State Warriors. I was reading an article. I never heard this before. They said when he was younger, get this, he actually didn't get a college scholarship. He was a walk-on. He's a multi-NBA MVP, multi-NBA champion, walk-on. And what's intriguing was they said when he was younger, his father was saying that he would go to the courts, and when he would initially walk up to the courts, if you ever seen Steph Curry, compared to the NBA players, he's a normal-sized guy, but compared to the NBA players, it kind of looks like David and Goliath. And literally, they say people would look down upon him because he was weaker and smaller. But what they didn't know, God had equipped him with a sling and five stones. It was called his three-point shot. Do you know that Steph Curry is going to go down as one of the greatest three-point shooters of all time? But if he was discouraged, if he tried to fit in, there was no weights he could have lifted. There was no way he could have grew. But because he embraced who God had called him to be, he is going down as one of the greatest players of our time. I want to encourage somebody today, listen. Maybe you feel like in your workplace, maybe you feel like in your job, in your profession, maybe you just feel like personally that somehow God hasn't given you the right equipment to fulfill what he's called you to. Can I encourage you? God has already equipped you for exactly what he's calling you to. I want you to be confident in who you are because there is no other you. You will not make a great someone else. David would have made a terrible Saul, but he made a great King David. And God has called you and he's created you to be a great version of you. And the world needs you because there's a Goliath in this world God's calling you to slay. You are a giant killer and you also are a slinger. Be confident in who he's created you to be. And then the last point is this. So you have to be faithful where you are, faithful and fruitful. The sweetest and most nutritious, the most beneficial fruit are produced in the hardest seasons to be confident in who you are and who God's created you to be, even if it doesn't look like others. And then lastly is this, is to learn to worship when no one else is looking. Learn to worship. You know, David was known in Scripture as a worshiper. In fact, there's a passage in 1 Samuel 6 that he was worshiping out in the streets. He literally worshiped him. He was dancing and worshiping to the point where his clothes started to fall off. If that happens here, please have clothes that don't fall off. We want you to be free to worship, but no. But all of a sudden, people start looking down at him like, you're acting a fool. Like, you're making a fool of yourself. And he says, I will become more undignified than this. He says, and actually, the original translation says, I will bring myself even lower than this. And what's intriguing is we see David, he actually wrote the book of Psalms. He wrote 75 of the 150 Psalms, wrote half the Psalms. What the Psalms are simply are, they're worship songs. They're songs he wrote unto God. And he was a warrior publicly. He was a worshiper privately. And can I tell you, listen, the Goliath God's calling you to defeat, until you learn how to worship privately, you'll never be an effective warrior publicly. Until you learn how to worship God when no one else is looking, can I tell you, listen, the most powerful moments of worship in your life will be the times when you're worshiping when no one else is around you. Be times when you're just you and him. And listen, there'll be the times, some of those moments, you don't tell anybody else about. Just as a married couple won't tell all the details of their most intimate moments, you need to have moments with God that never gets put on Instagram, you never tell anybody else about. And they'll be the most powerful moments, they'll be the sweetest moments, because they're the most intimate moments. And God knows it's only between you and me. You see, God knows if I can get you to worship me in privately, I can make you the best warrior publicly. That if you learn to surrender your life to me when nobody else is around, that you get up and nobody's saying great job, No one's saying, I'm glad you came to church today because you got up early on a Monday morning and you shut the door, maybe to a side room. You go down to the basement. You get into your closet and you just begin worshiping God, music or not. Can I tell you, they'll be the most powerful and most profound moments of your life. And it's those moments of your life that will advance the purposes of God in your life more than anything else. Because God will see, you love me for me. You surrender yourself to me for me. And David was that person. In fact, it's intriguing because David, he penned a psalm that many of you may know, Psalm 23, while he was on the backside of the field. It says this in Psalm 23. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. Some of you know this at heart, by heart. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. Whose namesake? See, when you worship, you get a proper perspective of him. And you learn that it's all about him and his sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Why was David so confident facing Goliath? Because he knew that God was with him. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Now this is what gets me, this verse 6, because here he is, neglected, forgotten about. He has the anointing, but not the appointing. He seems to be going backwards, not forwards. He's got no followers on Instagram. He not only didn't get a promotion, but he got let go. All these things don't seem to be going well in his life. And he says this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, church, when we learn to worship privately, we get a proper perspective of God and also a proper perspective of our giants. Therefore, when we face problems in our life publicly, we go back to the moments we have with him privately, and we say, no, I know who he is. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because he's with me. Though I'm currently experiencing brokenness, he restores my soul. I don't need anything. I don't want everything because he is my shepherd. I have no wants. He had a proper perspective of who God was. Can I tell you the most powerful thing sometimes you can do is you can put on some worship music and you can just sing about God. Now, worship isn't music. Worship in the Greek, the New Testament, is the word proskuno. Proskuno literally means to lie down, prostrate, and surrender. The word was also used when an opposing army would surrender to another army. So what is true worship? Saying, God, I give everything to you. I lay down everything. That's why David says, I will get more undignified than this. I will get even lower than this because of him. Because of him. What's intriguing is his private worship gave him public confidence. But his private worship also gave him a private victory. Let's read this. Let's go back to the first Samuel 13 about the bear and the lion. I want us to catch this. This is an important part. It says this. It's also to David, verse 33. He says, "Do not go to this Philistine and fight with him, but you're a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion and a bear, I took a lamb from the flock. So I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth, and if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, the Lord be with you." Do you know, actually, scholars say culturally, when David, in David's region at that time, there was an abundance of Syrian bears. Syrian brown bears. You can look this up on Google. They're known as a very ferocious bear. Like a bear that would kill men and women. So when he said that the same God, he was with me and I took the bear and I struck him and I killed him. People around him would have gasped, because they would have known someone who was mauled by that very bear. And they would have known, listen, if this guy is for real, he's a bad dude. This dude's legit. That's why Saul's like, all right, bro, Lord be with you. Because if you're for real and it was God, then yeah, you got this uncircumcised Philistine. Listen, here's the power of learning how to worship when no one else was looking. In David's situation, when he learned to worship by being faithful on the backside of the field, see, God gave him a victory privately over the bear and the lion. And because God gave him a victory privately, he could walk confidently before Goliath. Here's what I find in life. A lot of times what holds us back from walking in the purposes of God, to experiencing all that God has for us. You may look at this story and we can think sometimes, well, okay, in order to walk in my purpose, in order to defeat my Goliath, in order to experience my promotion, I need to get certain experiences and certain training and certain skills and certain degrees. Not saying they're a bad thing, but here's what I've found, and we see this in the scripture, that God knows that if we surrender those things in our life privately that nobody else knows about, and we allow him to deal with those things privately, he'll empower us to then walk confidently before Goliath. Let me give context. We all have bears in our life that come across our life. I remember some years ago, I struggled with insecurity in a big way. I'm saying how perfect now, but I struggle with a lot of insecurity. And I remember thinking to myself, well, I need more leadership training. I need to do this, I need to do that. It still helped. It didn't help. Because see, what God wanted to do is me to surrender fully over my insecurities so he could affirm my identity as his son. And can I tell you, nobody knew what I was walking through at that time when I walked through all this and God was dealing with me privately and I was learning how to get a proper perspective and proper worship in privately so he could affirm my identity. It was in those moments. I remember one of my coworkers at the time, after one of my messages, he said, there's something different about you. He said, there's something different about you now. And in my mind, I was like, I know. It had nothing to do externally. It's all internally. Listen, some of you today, you struggle with insecurity. And what you need to do is actually you need to learn how to surrender that over to God privately. Get a proper perspective of who he is. Submit your insecurity so he can affirm your identity in him. There are some of you, what's maybe holding back is maybe your anger that you deal with privately. Maybe from a past hurt years ago. And as you surrender that anger to God and you allow God to deal with that anger so you can walk fully in your peace and your purpose. Some of you are struggling with an addiction or maybe it's a secret sin. I say this lovingly. Some of you may be struggling in that. Listen, as you surrender that over to God privately and you get victory privately, you will now walk in a greater level of public authority because you're like the same God who was with me with the bear. The same God that nobody else knew about then when I was struggling with that issue that I dealt with God privately is the same God who's with me now publicly facing this uncircumcised Philistine. And church, why it's so important we understand that we live a lifestyle of worship privately. Most powerful thing you can do. Listen, we gathering together on Sundays is critical. It's biblical. But so is worshiping God on Monday. When you get up and you seek him before anything else, you seek him from the private moments and you don't even tell anybody about it. It might be, there are moments it can be so precious and so powerful that you don't even have words for it. And you may be coming out look like you've been ugly crying, but it's been good crying because you've been overwhelmed by the presence and the power and the love of God. And it's in those moments that empowered David to face that Goliath. And here's why it's so important. Not just so you walk in freedom, not just so you can walk in your purpose, because we can think, and I don't know if David had this perspective, but at times we can think that Goliath, if you actually look at it, Goliath wasn't David's battle. Goliath became David's battle. See, the purpose of Goliath wasn't promotion. The purpose of Goliath was to rescue the Israelites. And can I tell you the purpose that God has for your life, the dreams in your heart, the vision God's given you, the things that he has in your future? Do you know the ultimate purpose of that, much like it was for David, is because he wants to rescue a people. The position he wants for you at your job, it's not just so you get paid more and you have a corner office and you're in a job that's more fulfilling. Yes, he loves you and he's for you. But it's actually because there are people at that level that he wants for you to reach. And he's going to place you and position you there for those people to be representative of him. Because it's always about people. It's always for people. So I want to challenge this church. Let us be a people that learn how to worship God privately so we can walk fully and our callings and our purposes publicly. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your goodness and your grace. God, we thank you for your presence. God, we thank you for who you are. God, we thank you that you're the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God, you're the same God who was with David with the bears and the lions. You're the same God who was with them with Goliath. You're the same God today. God, and we pray that you would, God, just even right now in these moments, God, speak to us. God, these moments that you would lead us. I just want to ask right now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today, and maybe there's an area of your life, maybe God spoke something from this message, maybe even specifically there's some areas privately that God has highlighted, maybe even some areas that you know that God's wanting to give you victory in so you can walk more confidently and more fully in the purposes that he has for you. If that's you, I want to pray with you right now. I'm just going to ask you, just lift your hand on the count of three and just put it back down. I'm not going to ask you to come forward or anything. I just want to know who I'm praying with. If that's you, I want to pray with you. Ready? One, two, three. Say, that's me. That's me. There's some things privately I need to surrender over to God. There's some things privately I want to get victory in. Maybe nobody else knows, but God knows. Awesome. Put your hands down. I want to pray with a second group. If you're here this morning and you feel distant from God, maybe you came in and maybe you're new, or maybe you've been coming for a while, but maybe you never made a decision to follow Jesus, to put your trust in him. Maybe you once did, maybe you even attended church some years ago, but you know right now that you need to make a recommitment, get a fresh start with God today. If you're either one of those groups, again, right where you are, I'm not going to ask you to come forward or stand up, but I do want to pray with you. If that's you, just right in your seat, you can lift up your hand and put it back down on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. Just lift it up. Awesome. You can put it back down. Awesome. 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 That's great. A few more moments. For somebody else, you're just saying, that's me, Jeremy. Just pray with me. I'm going to get a fresh start with God. We're going to pray with that first group. Then we'll pray with that second group. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that every person, God, who lifted their hands, God, maybe there are things that, Father, in their own life that you're wanting to give victory privately. God, they would learn. God, we all would learn, God, how to worship you. God, in those moments that nobody else sees, learn, God, we would have a greater passion and pursuit of you and your presence, God. And God, and just as you gave David victory over the bear, God, that you would give us victory, God, whether it's insecurity, anger, anxiety, a secret struggle. God, you know every situation, every circumstance, God. We believe, God, as your word says, you're the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And God, we just ask in the name of Jesus, God, that you would give us that private victory, and we would walk more confidently, more fully in the purposes that you have for us. We would be confident in who you created us to be. And God, we would remain faithful so we can be fruitful, God, in every season of our life. We thank you in Jesus' name. With heads bowed, just with that second group, let's pray this prayer, a declaration of our faith in Jesus together. Let's repeat this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for loving me. I thank you for going to the cross and giving your life for me. I believe you rose again, and I confess you, Lord, of my life. I ask you, lead me, and you guide me, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, church, let's put our hands together for all of those who made that decision today.